You know what? As we're worshiping, I think I felt the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, you plan too much to preach. And I think he was trying to speak that to me earlier in the week, but I didn't really hear it. I had these hints along the way where it's like, actually, this is supposed to be two messages, not one. So today you're going to get half of what I'd prepared, but that's okay. If you come next week, you'll get the other half. Last week I shared about God's desire for relationship with us. If you were here last week, we talked about God's desire to hear our voice, God's desire to see our face. And the thing that's most important to God is actually our love for him more than anything that we can do for him. So oftentimes, when people think of Christianity, they think of Christianity in regards to what we do. And those things that we do are the most important. Now, the things that we do are important, but they're not the most important to God. We see in Scripture and from Ephesians 2 that I preached last week that God's most important thing is our relationship with him, our love for him, and that he wants to hear our voice. He wants to see our face. Do you know that he also wants us to hear his voice? He wants us to see his face. And when it comes to hearing the voice of God and seeing the face of God, the story, the life that came to me this last week that I wanted to share with you is about the life of Elijah. I'm not going to be sharing with you all of it. I'm just going to be sharing with you a portion of it in 1 Kings 19. But if you were to open up your Bible, if you do have your Bibles here today, I would encourage you to open them up. If you find 1 Kings, the life of Elijah, you can see quite a bit of it in 1 Kings 17, kind of starts off in 17 and 18. Today we're going to be talking a little bit more about 1 Kings 19. But Elijah was a prophet of God in the Old Testament. Time-wise, if you're a historian, he lived somewhere around the 9th century BC. So that's several thousand years ago. But in the 9th century BC, Elijah lived in a very, very hard time in the nation of Israel. A prophet is someone who is a spokesperson for God to his people. Let me say that again. As we look at the Old Testament, a prophet was a spokesperson for God to his people, to the people of Israel. He would remind them of their covenant with God, their relationship with God. And Elijah lived during a time where Israel was in an incredibly difficult, rough patch. They did not have good leadership. You had Ahab, who is the king, and he married a woman named Jezebel, who is the queen. And they didn't want to serve or worship Yahweh, the God of the Bible. What they did is they introduced Baal worship, who was a local deity, a local idol, into their culture. In fact, they built a temple to Baal in their capital city, and Jezebel raised up hundreds of prophets to worship and train the people to worship Baal. And they were so intent on this Baal worship that they persecuted anybody who wanted to worship the one true God of the Bible, Yahweh. They tried to kill them and they drove them underground. In fact, the priests of God that were there to guide people in their worship of God, they persecuted. In the story of Elijah, Elijah comes to Ahab, the king, and to Jezebel, and he says, because of your idolatry to Baal, God is causing no rain across the country for the next 3 years. You're not going to see any rain. There's going to be a drought. Now, what's interesting about this is that part of the reason why Elijah is declaring this, he's prophesying on behalf of God, is because Baal is the god of rain. They believe that Baal, he was kind of a fertility god. They believe that he provided clouds and thunder and rain. So they would pray to Baal so that they would have good crops. No rain, no crops. God interjects himself into the situation. He says, you think this is your God, I just want you to know it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain. 3 years comes by, Elijah shows back up on the scene, and they're still in this idolatrous worship of Baal. Even after 3 years of having no rain, you think they would start catching the hint, right? Keep on praying to Baal, nothing is happening. So Elijah shows up on the scene and says, let's have a little bit of a competition. We're going to go up on this mountain, Carmel, and you bring all the priests of Baal, you bring them up here. We're going to create two altars, one altar to Baal, one altar to God, Yahweh. And you, priests of Baal, you can go first, put your wood there, create your sacrifice. But this is the key. You can't light it on fire because the sacrifice is supposed to be lit on fire. This is the thing. You're not allowed to do that. If Baal is God, he will light it on fire himself. And so they go through their whole ritual. They're for hours. They're praying to Baal. They're doing their religious rituals. They're cutting themselves. They're doing all sorts of things, and nothing is happening. Finally, Elijah steps up on the scene, and he prays to Yahweh. He says, God, you need to show these people who is truly God. Fire falls down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice. And there's all these people. Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, if you want theatrics in the Bible, read 1 Kings 18. I mean, can you imagine being there at that moment and seeing fire fall from heaven out of the middle of nowhere? In fact, Elijah had poured all of this water on top of the sacrifice to make sure. He's like, I don't have any tricks up my sleeve here. Fire falls from heaven. And after that, the people are all whipped up into a frenzy. They're excited. They're like, God, Yahweh is our God. We're going to serve him. And out of Elijah's zeal, he says, we need to kill all the prophets of Baal. So there's all these prophets that end up getting that are there to worship Baal, and they're all slaughtered. Not a nice scene. After this, Elijah runs and he goes and he prays to God, God, would you send rain? And God, there was not a stitch, there was not a cloud in the sky, and God ends up sending rain. Very, very clear. You guys have been praying to Baal for rain for years and years and years, believing in him. Now God, Yahweh, is the true God. You guys need to all see it. We turn to 1 Kings 19. This is what happens. Look at this. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah. May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Interesting, eh? Doesn't sound like Jezebel's there. Ahab experienced it. Jezebel wasn't there when this all happened. But she knows what has happened. And you can imagine Ahab coming home and being like, see, Jezebel, she's a feisty woman. Can imagine Ahab coming home. Now, he's nervous. He doesn't have good news. Honey, you know that competition that I was invited to? We lost. And, like, we literally got slaughtered. Not metaphorically, literally. Like, it wasn't good. Yeah. Baal didn't light our sacrifice on fire. The other one had success. Yahweh had said we didn't have success, and all the prophets got slaughtered. Not good. You would think with the experience that Ahab had, at least you think he would come home and say to Jezebel, I think we have it wrong. I think we're worshiping the wrong God. But from what we see in Scripture, that's not what happened. He relays the situation to her. And instead of repentance, instead of having that sense of we've chosen wrong, we need to change and go a different direction, it's one of anger, it's one of vengeance. And you see Jezebel doubling down on what she's already been doing. When I look at this story, what strikes me is that as a people, we can have evidence in our face. We can see the miraculous of God. Have you ever tried to sit down and convince somebody of the reality of God? Maybe they believe in God and you're trying to convince them of who Jesus is. And no matter what you present to them, the reality is, as human beings, if our hearts are hard and our minds are turned off, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we experience, we will not be open to it. We'll not be open to it. Some people were convinced of this big showdown that happened on Carmel, but it's very obvious that not everybody was convinced. Sometimes, even now, thousands of years later, sometimes we believe that if God would just do this, fill in the blank, if he just did this miracle, if he just showed up in this way, man, it would be amazing how many people would follow God, or this person who's on our heart would choose to follow God. We want to see miracles, and yet it's interesting in a situation like this, one of the most amazing miracles you could see. And you see people whose hearts are hard and it doesn't make a difference. When Jesus was here on the earth and walking in Judea, he did all sorts of miracles, didn't he? Right? Open up the New Testament, read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, Jesus was a walking miracle, it seems like, wherever he went. Matthew chapter 16, it says this: one day, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. I read that, I'm like, that's so interesting. You know, you can imagine Jesus being like, haven't you been watching me all this time? Like, what more do you want from me? But they come, and you can imagine the hearts of the Pharisees, and it's never enough. It's never enough. If you are who you say you are, if you have this authority, then you need to do this. And they're looking for something very specific, obviously. In verse 4 of Matthew 16, Jesus says, only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. Jesus recognizes, Jesus isn't against doing miracles. He did miracles all the time when he walked here on earth, and he's still doing miracles today. God loves to bless his children. God loves to bring healing into people's lives. God loves to do miracles. But sometimes there's a difference, right? Sometimes there's a difference. You can see the difference in the hearts of these religious leaders of Jesus' time. Jesus recognizes their hard hearts and says, it doesn't matter what miracle you see. You won't believe. In fact, you can imagine Jesus thinking in his heart, I could raise from the dead, and you won't believe. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. We live in a day and age, it's very fascinating when it comes to whether or not we believe in God or believe in Jesus. You can open up your web browser, you can open up YouTube, and there's ubiquitous information on the internet that if you want to find information that disproves the existence of God or disproves who Jesus is, there's a whole rabbit trail you can go down and watch that will convince you that there cannot be a God, that will convince you that Jesus isn't who he says he was. And you can go down that rabbit hole. There's lots of information. And you know what's interesting? you can actually do the opposite too. There's so much information on the internet and on YouTube where you can go down a rabbit trail proving why the Bible is historically valid, why you should believe in the scriptures, why it is reasonable to believe in Jesus, why it's reasonable to believe that this person who lived and died actually rose from the grave. And there's ubiquitous information on that stuff too. God has and will continue to reveal himself to humanity. But this is the thing. The question always is our hearts open to it? Is your heart open to it? You may be here today. Someone brought you to church. You don't want to be here. And like fire could fall down from heaven. And you'd be like, okay, what did the pastor do? Because our eyes are closed, our minds are closed, our ears are turned off, and we do not want to hear. We do not want to experience God. If you are in that boat today, or you know someone in that boat, one of the challenges I love to give people is, if you truly seek after God with your heart, if your heart's open, he will reveal himself to you. That is who he is. He will reveal himself to you. Because he wants to show himself, but you have to open up your heart to him. In this story of Mount Carmel, when you hear that story of fire falling down from heaven, you'd be like, the nation must have been transformed. All those people saw it, they heard it. The word would have got, if you weren't there, the word would have got out. They must have been transformed. You know what's really sad about that story? Is that for the most part, if you continue down reading in the next chapters in 1 Kings 20 and 21 and walk down that path, nothing changed. Nothing changed. The nation of Israel continued to go down a path of worshiping Baal. The kings after Ahab, his son Ahaziah, did the same thing that Ahab did. Just kept on going down that path. You would think that experiencing something like that would transform them. But they went down that path. 1 Kings 19, it says this, verse 3 to 4. It says, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he must die, that he might die, I should say. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors who have already died. After everything that Elijah experienced, he was discouraged. After everything that Elijah experienced, you know, if this is a movie, or in my mind's eye, what I think should happen is if Elijah was there and he experienced that in power, he heard of Jezebel's threats, he'd been like, go for it. Make my day. Come and kill me. I mean, if God can send fire from down from heaven, take your shot. But what I love about this story is we really truly see the humanity of Elijah. Folks, this isn't some made-up superhero in a comic book. This is a real, breathing person who had faith in God. And after everything he experienced, he still struggled in his faith. That should encourage you. When I read that, I go, if Elijah experienced that, how much more can we experience that? You know, you might have, when you think of your past and you think of all the things that maybe God has spoken to your heart in the past, they may be many. If you really truly think, if you've been following Jesus for any length of time, he has spoken to you probably lots of times and you've experienced him in different ways. And yet you can still experience things in life that drag you down, that discourage you, that make you feel like Elijah. I just want to die. God, I'm done. Can you just take me home? I don't know if you ever felt that way before. But I just want to go to be with the Lord. I'm kind of finished. He had a spiritual high of Mount Carmel. And anytime you have a spiritual high, there very may likely be a crash that comes. Keep your eyes open. Don't be surprised. If God has spoken to you and you experience God, be ready and know that you might be coming down the mountain. This is Elijah's experience. Can I let you in on something? A little secret. This is a pastor's secret. You may have never heard before. Do you know what the hardest day on average is for a pastor? Man, I guess it's not a secret. Yeah, it's either Sunday night or it's Monday. And the reason why that is that we gather together as the people of God. And as we experience today, it's like you experience the presence of God and God speaks through a bunch of different people. You come up and you preach the word of God and there's like, you feel amazed by it. You feel pumped up. And then you go home and the hours pass by. And all the doubts start creeping in. And all the things that you're like, maybe we should have done this, or maybe I should have said that, or why didn't this happen? And all sorts of stuff starts happening. And it's very, very typical on a Sunday night, it's not just me, talk to most pastors, on a Sunday night where they feel like crap. They feel horrible. Or maybe it's Monday on a day off, whatever it is, and they feel discouraged. The doubts come. And oftentimes it comes because you're tired. If you are tired, it's not just about doubts. But we live, if you are a follower of Jesus, we don't just believe in the physical. We also believe in the spiritual. And even though there is a God out there that loves you, that wants what's best for you, we also believe through reading scripture, that there are other spiritual beings out there that are against God. Scripture, they're called demons, Satan. And when we are going in the right direction, we're doing things that God wants us to do, those spiritual beings are out there to discourage you. And they're going to sow doubts in your mind. They're going to tell you all sorts of lies that aren't true. And they come the hardest when you're tired. They come to attack us. There was a demonic power behind what King Ahab and Jezebel were doing. They weren't just evil people. There was a spiritual power, an anti-God power that was behind that. And that spiritual power wasn't just Jezebel, but that spiritual power wanted to kill Elijah. And was speaking those lies in Elijah's heart and say, why don't you just die? Why don't you just give up? Look at everything that happened and look at where it got you, Elijah. You think their hearts should be changed, and yet now you're on the run for your life and they want to kill you. Just die. Discouraging him. Depression. Tiredness. Could this be similar today? Absolutely. Absolutely. There's an enemy out there, and I don't try to dramatize this or anything. But as much as God wants to reveal himself to you, this enemy wants to discourage you. He wants to sow lies into your heart. And he wants to say things like, God doesn't care about you. If God was real, he would do this, that, and the other. God might love that person. There's good reason why God loves that person, but doesn't love you. You're trying to make a difference in this that you're doing, but it's not making any difference at all. And that lie wants to say to you, your life is a mess, why don't you just die? And that spirit of depression wants to come upon you, a spirit of discouragement wants to come upon you. And if you ever hear that or feel that, you take the authority of Jesus and you claim who you are in Jesus. You say, those things are not true. That's not from God. Those are lies of the enemy. And you tell those spirits to quit it. You say, shut up. Right? You say, I have the authority. Did you know the authority that you carry as a child of God? Those spiritual beings out there that want to discourage you have nothing in comparison to you. Most of the time, though, we don't recognize our authority in Jesus Christ. You are a walking, talking spiritual warrior. That most of the time, you have tools that you don't know that you haven't been using. And you pick up your authority. You take the Word of God. And if you don't know what you have in the Word of God, pick it up and find it and use that. But as a child of God, He's given you authority, and you tell those thoughts, you tell those spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. And you claim who you are. I am a child of God. I am loved. My life matters. The things that I do is making a difference in this world. And Satan, you're not going to take me out. I'm going to continue to be a thorn in your side, so get out of my way. Even Elijah experienced this. And he went on the run, but he couldn't get away from God. And we're going to talk about that more next week. Why don't we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, yes, Lord, we give you the praise and the glory. And we thank you that you are here with us today and you have revealed your presence with us today. We thank you, Lord. I pray, God, that we'd walk out with that presence. And even when we don't feel it, even when we don't see it, even when the doubts come, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would take our stand as children of God. We'd take our stand in your word. And we'd trust in you. And we'd stay still. And we'd listen. We pray all these things. I pray your protection. I pray your blessing. I pray your goodness over everybody here today, including those who are online watching. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have an awesome Sunday. You know what? If you need prayer this morning, if there are things that are hanging on you that you need someone to pray over, if there are spiritual beings that you feel like they've been harassing me, you need prayer, please come forward and pray and receive prayer. We'll be waiting for you here at the front.